And others have argued, at heart, terrorism was a reaction, a response in kind to government violence against people, against radicals, against others. Terrorists themselves, in fact, testified to all these reasons, but their statements also indicate something more deeply rooted, what might be described as personal, even moral motives. Let me just quote, without editorial comment, a couple of the testimonies by terrorists themselves. For example, Vera Zasulic, a 29-year-old woman from a noble family who shot the governor general of St. Petersburg right in his office, claims she did it to avenge the beating by the governor general of a political prisoner who she personally knew. She said, "I resolved at that point, even if it cost my life, to prove that no one who abused a human being would be able to get away with it." Interestingly enough, she went before a jury, made just this plea, and the jury acquitted her. It was true. Police shouldn't be allowed to behave this way. Clearly, this was more than a marginal phenomena. There was a sense of the justifiability of acting against the state in this way. Other examples are similar. The man who stabbed to death the chief of gendarmes, a man named Sergei Kravchinsky, in 1878, he argued that he had to do it because the chief thought he was above the law. He trampled on the human dignity of others, and he noted he didn't stab him in the back, he stabbed him in the front. This was a moral act. Now, you can interpret these statements in different ways, but I want to at least ask, is it too far-fetched to suggest that terror, at least in the minds of terrorists then, was seen as an ethical act, that murder even expressed a peculiar understanding, but still a type of morality? Now, by the mid-1880s and the early 1890s, many educated Russians began to worry that none of this was getting them anywhere. And as a result, increasing numbers began to declare themselves to be not populists anymore, but Marxists. This began first among the leaders of the populist movement, almost all of whom were in European exile, where a number of leading populist intellectuals sitting in Geneva or London declared themselves to now be the followers of the ideas of Karl Marx. And back in Russia, similarly, a number of populist study circles where students and workers and others met declared themselves also to be Marxists. In 1895, two of these circles, both led by students, among them the future communist leader Vladimir Lenin and his chief opponent, Yuli Martov, formed an organization called the Petersburg Union of Struggle for the Emancipation of the Working Class. And most interestingly, they announced a new strategy. Before, their strategy was propaganda, unless it was terrorism, which meant sharing books with workers, talking about big ideas. They decided this was inadequate, and of course terrorism was counterproductive, and they proposed a new strategy they called agitation. This meant going right to the factories where workers worked, handing out leaflets, and talking to them not about big philosophical ideas, but about their everyday hardships and the need to protest. This strategy, of course, brought them the attention of workers as never before, especially as this was a time when workers themselves were beginning to organize and strike against conditions. But it also brought these young Marxists to the attention of the police. By the start of 1896, in other words, within less than a year of the forming of the Union of Struggle, all of its members were in jail and soon in Siberia. A couple years later, in 1898, the Marxists who were still free and encouraged by those in European exile secretly gathered in the town of Minsk and established a party that they called the Russian Social Democratic Workers' Party. This was the first Congress, but it came to nothing because within a few weeks, everybody present at the conference had been arrested. Then in 1900, Martov and Lenin and other members of the St. Petersburg Union of Struggle completed their sentences and decided to rebuild the party. They left to Western Europe. There was no point in trying in Russia. They couldn't do anything with the power of the police. And they founded a newspaper, which they called The Spark, or Iskra in Russian, and built a network of circles in various cities to read and distribute this paper. Now, the real question that has to be asked is, why did Marxism, which would become so fateful for the future of Russia, especially in the 20th century, have such an appeal at this point? And to understand this, one has to recognize that there was what might be described as a real intellectual political crisis in the minds of young intelligenti, in particular of these young socialists who were called populists. And the problem was reconciling their faith, their ideals, with reality.